This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And my heart is rejoicing to see all of you. I'm seeing some faces of folks I haven't seen in over a year and some brand new faces who are worshiping with us for the first time. And I'm just so glad to be with you, glad to be with those of you who are joining us on live stream. The Holy Spirit is among us and we have many opportunities this morning to sing our joy together. So I look forward to this time of worship with you. As we gather, I invite those of you who are joining us over live stream to register your attendance by clicking on the link there in the chat. If you're here in the sanctuary, you can sign in on the registration pads that are at the end of each row. Or if you would rather, there's a QR code in the bulletin you can scan on your smartphones, and that will take you to all the links to register attendance, to give, to offer prayer concerns, and do all that digitally if that is your preference. A few announcements as we gather this morning. We had an invitation from Don and Kathy Barnett to wear orange as a way of raising awareness of gun violence in our community. This is something that faith communities across the nation, I believe, are acknowledging today. And so we invite you to join us in prayers as we pray for an end to such violence in our communities. And thank you, Don and Kathy, for the work you do in our community to bring that to an end. Some wonderful news for our children. Vacation Bible School is happening in person this year, and registration has begun. We do need some volunteers still, so if you are available during the week, especially in the morning time, we would love to have your help. You can contact Maggie Jarrell through our website to volunteer if you'd like, and you can also register your children for Vacation Bible School through the website as well. And finally, this week is our Tennessee Annual Conference, the gathering of delegates from United Methodist Churches across Middle Tennessee for our gathering together. It will be virtual again this year, and it actually will be the last gathering of the Tennessee Annual Conference. This time next year, we will gather with the Tennessee Western Kentucky Annual Conference. We're birthing something new with Tennessee and Memphis conferences. So we give thanks to God for God's presence among us as an annual conference and look forward to new things as we move together in God's future. We'll be live streaming annual conference for those of you who like that sort of thing. You can come on Thursday and Friday and join us in the theater. We do invite you especially on Friday morning at 9 a.m. is the memorial service for annual conference. And two of our own will be remembered, Price Taylor and Sue Miller. So you can also join the annual conference from your own computers wherever you are through the Tennessee Annual Conference website. But we invite you to participate in whatever ways you feel led. We are beginning a new sermon series that will take us through the months of June and July. As we spent some time thinking and praying about this moment in our life together, it felt like a new day was dawning, that light is beginning to shine. And so for the next 8 weeks, we will be going through the scriptures and dwelling on images of light. And we begin this morning with the voice of God speaking out over the waters and the darkness, saying, "Let there be light." So let there be light in our hearts, in our voices, as we sing, worship, and pray together this morning.
As the sun makes its way across the sky, we praise our Creator.
Rise and shine, and give God glory.
For the day and for the night, for the work and for the rest.
Rise and shine, and give God glory.
For the earth and its peoples, its plants and its animals. Let us praise our Creator this morning.
Let us rise and shine and give God glory.
When we are tired, when we are weak, when we don't know how or what to pray, the Holy Spirit goes before us and with us, forming prayers out of our wordless sighs. And God welcomes us with open arms, ready to receive us. So then, let us confess our sins together, that together we might experience God's Spirit at work in our midst. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
As a forgiven and reconciled people, we will now exchange signs of reconciliation and love. For those in the sanctuary, do that however you feel most comfortable. And for those of you worshiping with us online, share with those around you or those that are online worshiping with you. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to take a special moment with the children, those who are here in the sanctuary and those who might be joining us online. Hopefully, soon we'll be able to gather up here, spread out a little bit. But until then, I'm just going to speak to you in your seats or through the camera. I have a family reunion that I go to every year that's at a campground, and it's way out in the country. And so when it's nighttime, it's really dark, and you can see the stars. It's beautiful, but it's sometimes hard to see your way when you're walking. And if you want to At night, if you want to go down and maybe take a shower or brush your teeth, you have to go all the way down the hill to the bathhouse. And so you need one of these, a flashlight. And suddenly, this little bit of a dangerous walk down to the bathhouse becomes pretty easy when there's light. Before there were flashlights, there were candles, and there was fire. There's always been some way for us to see in the dark. In our scripture reading this morning, it's the very beginning of the Bible. It talks about God creating the world. And when it starts off, it's dark. The Spirit of God is hovering over the dark waters. The dark abyss is another word we could use. And then God says, "Let there be light." And suddenly, everything changed. But you know something that's really important that I noticed? God then says there will be day and there will be night. There are times when there's light and times when there's darkness. But the darkness isn't bad because God's already there. Even in the darkness, the Spirit of God is there. And we need daytime and we need nighttime to rest. So if you are like I was when I was little and a little bit afraid of the dark, maybe it'll help you to remember that even in the dark, God is with us, holding us. Let's pray together. O Creator God, you created the day and the night. You are with us when things are bright and when things are dark. You're with us all day and all night. Thank you, and help us to feel your presence and not be afraid. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I can't stop smiling. It's just so good to be together in the sanctuary and to sing our hymns together and to know that this very difficult, dark, chaotic season that we have been in this time of pandemic, is, we hope, coming to an end. There's this feeling of emerging from a dark time. I was in a meeting this week with a group of pastors, and one of my colleagues said, "Y'all, we need to just take a minute and say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's say it. Hallelujah." He said, "It feels like we are crawling out of a canyon." And I thought that was a really vivid image. I've had other images that have come to my mind, like after running your third marathon, just limping over the finish line. Or stepping out into the afternoon sun after seeing a matinee. Not that we really remember what it was like to go to the movies, but if you go to a matinee and you're immersed in the darkness of the theater and in a particular story, and then the doors open and you emerge into the daylight, I felt that way a little bit. But my friend's image was so vivid to me, and it came to me again as I read these opening verses of the Bible. In the beginning, there was darkness, there was the deep. The word in Hebrew is tohu wabohu, which implies this sort of swirling chaos. And the first people, most likely, who heard this poem of creation were the Israelites who were living in exile in Babylon. Many scholars believe that is when many of these texts were written down and collected and shared, because that was a moment of great darkness. A moment when God's people were in a very deep abyss. They had been torn from their homes, ripped from the temple, all of their habits and practices they were used to in life, families torn apart. And there was a lot of doubt. Where is God in all of this? It felt like darkness and chaos, and there was very little hope that it would come to an end. And so this story is spoken into that moment as a way of teaching the people and showing the people the truth about the God who created them. When God began creating, the story says, there was indeed a dark and chaotic abyss. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach of God, was hovering over the waters of the darkness. The Hebrew word actually can be translated brooding, a word that can be found in the book of Deuteronomy to describe a mother eagle brooding over her little ones in the nest. Imagine the Spirit of God brooding over the darkness, nurturing, warming, bringing forth life and light and renewal. The story speaks into the darkness and says, you are not alone. God is with you, and God is at work creating. Can you hear the echoes of the creed that we say every Sunday? Which we'll say again this morning, a God who has created and is creating. We are not alone. We live in God's world. And so for us, this same message of hope resonates across the centuries. Because, as I said, we know what it's like to feel like we're in a deep abyss, thrown into chaos. Everything that was predictable about life changed 15 months ago. We have lost loved ones. We have lost so much, and there has been so much unknown all along the way. We know what darkness and chaos feel like for us as a planet, for us as a nation, as we've experienced political fracture and the fragility of our democracy as we know it. We've seen the veil lifted on so much racial injustice and white supremacy that's still out there in our world. It's been a hard 15 months. And not only that, but for many of us who have been dealing with cancer treatments or the loss of a loved one or the loss of a relationship or whatever it might be, we all have these seasons of darkness and chaos and confusion when we look around us and we don't know where God is. And so these verses sing out to us. The Holy Spirit is brooding over the waters, sweeping all around us, even in the darkness when we cannot see, when we do not have the courage or strength to pray, when we don't know where God is. The scriptures tell us God is with us, and even in the darkness, creating and renewing. And the next verse tells us how God does that. The voice of God speaks into the darkness, let there be light. I invite you over the next few days in your own prayer time, your quiet time, as you're taking your walks or driving, whatever it may be, to hear that phrase, let there be. Do you notice God doesn't coerce light into being? God doesn't manufacture light. God works with what is and allows and evokes and calls forth light. In his commentary on this passage, Walter Brueggemann says that in these opening verses, the character of God is revealed. And that same character of God is reinforced again and again as we see a God who lovingly creates the world, lovingly creates humankind and breathes God's very own breath into humankind, designs a garden for the good of humankind, and then allows us to be free to choose whether we will walk in God's way or not. And when we turn, God reaches out again, offering a way of life through the Torah, through the law, offering a way of life through Jesus and teachings of the Sermon on the Mount. Here is the way of life. Jesus who says, follow me. It's invitation. It's evoking light from us. It is not coercion and forced. God is not a tyrant, but a co-creator loving us enough to give us the freedom for joyful obedience. The closest thing I can come to in my own limited experience is what it feels like sometimes to be a parent. I have two teenagers now, 19 and 16. And they were born into the world totally dependent on us, and it was our job, David and my job, to feed them and love them and hold them and protect them and give them structure in their lives and teach them as best we can the way of life and the way of faith. But darn it, they were just born the way they were born, you know? And they're their own little people. And I'm discovering more and more about loving them enough to let them be who they are, to grow into the fullness of who God has created them to be, to have the loving courage to say, let there be Tate, let there be MC. And when they make choices in their freedom, they go to a school I might not have chosen, or they choose a field of study I might not have chosen, or whatever it might be, to look at the way God loves you and me, and to do my best to love them with that same kind of freedom and acceptance and joy and delight. So when we encounter a God like this in the very first verses of the Bible, how does that shape our relationship with God? How do you respond to a God like that who wants to call forth from you, from the very essence of who you are, light and love for the world? How do we form a faith community that lives out that love, making space for people to be who they are and be delighted in who they are? How do we live into our very mission statement to shine the loving light of Christ into our world? I think it starts with knowing the character of our Creator, who is with us even when we don't know or see or hear, is with us in the darkness and chaos, and who is working even now to call forth the best of us. May we respond freely and joyfully in obedience. Amen.
Would you rise in body or in spirit and join me as we affirm our faith together, number 883 in the hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share your prayer requests with the prayer team to pray throughout the week, you can follow the link under the Contact Us section of our website. There are also cards in the pews, and you may fill one out and put them in the offering boxes at the back or the side of the sanctuary, and we will pray for those throughout the week. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of love and light, in the beginning, when you created the heavens and the earth, at first there was chaos, a formless void, an utter lack of definition. There was nothing, and yet you and your spirit were there. There was nothing. And then suddenly there was light. In an instant, you spoke into existence a bright and new reality. Loving God, we often wish we were able to change the reality of our world in such an instant. We wish that we had the power to take the chaos and give it definition, to illuminate complex situations of human suffering and find solutions, to alleviate our own hurt and pain, and that of our loved ones and neighbors, and transform it all in a single word. And yet, you and your spirit are here. Today, we pray for those who continue to be affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. We give thanks for the miracle of science and the distribution of vaccines. We pray for those who are experiencing loneliness, brokenheartedness, and impoverishment. And we give thanks for your overwhelming presence with each person. Today we pray for the victims and survivors of gun violence, for the heartache of affected families, loved ones, and communities. And we give you thanks for those who are committed to finding a resolution to this death-dealing epidemic. We pray for our leaders on a local, state, and national level, and for all the leaders of the world. We pray that your spirit would be with them as they make decisions. Creator God, as we settle into these warm summer days, with renewed opportunities for drawing near to those we love, we give thanks to you for your constant presence among us, for the light and love that you fill us with, and we ask for wisdom and discernment in sensing the moments you have for us to bring that light and love into all the places in which we go. We ask all of this in the name of Christ. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings this morning, we recognize that everyone is in a different financial situation, so that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world. We invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you are invited to give via the options in the listed on the screen or in the chat. And for those of you here in the sanctuary, you can leave your offering following the service in the boxes at the back or side of the sanctuary. Let us now offer our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, along with our hearts, to our God who loves us unconditionally.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy are you, O God, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Confidence of the children of God, let us pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to receive this meal today, I want to remind you that this is a United Methodist table, but this is most importantly Jesus' table, and he invites all people to his table. So no matter how old you are, what church tradition you come from, whether or not you have been baptized, if you seek to be in relationship with Christ, you are welcome here at this table. This morning, we are going to invite those who are here in the sanctuary to come forward via the center aisle, and you will receive one of these communion packets. There is a wafer on top of a cup of juice. We invite you to take that packet and either go somewhere along the railing or go back to your seat and receive the meal at that place. If you would like to receive gluten-free elements, we will have a station over here on the lectern side as well. If you are unable to come forward, or if you would prefer to receive the meal in your seat, just remain seated. I'm going to come around the sanctuary, and when I come near you, just raise your hand and let me know, and I will serve you in that place. Our communion offering for June will go to our prison ministries. This money is used for several purposes. Once a year, we contribute to holiday meals for the men on Riverbend's death row. We also contribute to Christmas gifts for inmates at other prisons, including the Tennessee Prison for Women. We've assisted formerly incarcerated individuals with the expensive transition into life on the outside, and we have supported organizations that do this as well. Our care and concern for these people inside and outside of the prison reflect our bedrock belief that God loves everyone unconditionally. It's through the sharing of God's unconditional love that we can provide the means for transformation. You can make a contribution via our website, or there are offering plates here at the front for those of you in the sanctuary. The table is set and all is ready, and you are welcome here. We invite you to come forward and receive. The body of Christ. The cup of salvation.
Thank you.
Let us pray. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Now we give ourselves for others. Your love has made us a new people. As a people of love, we will serve you with joy. Your glory has filled our hearts. Help us to glorify you in all things. Amen.
God created all things bright and beautiful, and that includes you. God looked upon creation and said, "It is very good," and that includes you. Let us go with this good news in our hearts to share that love with the world. Amen.